In the outside world we need some teacher. We are respectful to them, whatever learn at their feet. But all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or intellect. And in a subject, we start the ABC, or we start when you rise above body consciousness, when the world flashes and there the reason start, reasons back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self, we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot, we are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion. Who can withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise you up, you see I am not the body. Know thyself mean? By self-analysis you know you are the driving force of all this factory of the man body. Then you see the old self which is controlling you. So such like, this is definition generally given by all masters. They never say I am God. They say we are the messenger. We have been sent by God to guide you back to your home. That's all. If anybody says what 10th Guru said, if any of you do call me God, you go to hell. You see, that is only to stop this misconception prevailing in the world. Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother, elder, as your teacher. They follow my instruction. When you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything, right? So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I'm great, I've got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, pray. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slave. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, let me, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are leaving, we call, where my son, where my mother, where that, where that. And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I'm going to my father. This is all master says. Guru Amar Das says, now I'm going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jam Singh said the same thing. Our master used to sit some months before, well, I'm leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, oh God, give us the feet of such a personality who is the mouthpiece of God. And he says, how long till I should like to die at his feet? This is very biggest prayer, he says. I mean, prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why I have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on he gave, his father gave out the Ramanuj, that we are still a cover over that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was preacher like that and ultimately became to be a lover of Rama, God incarnation power. So as I told you yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light are found out there. Which is better? They are symbols only to show that such like models, that such like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks who is the better, and he is better of the two, of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things you have found just for teaching the people that such like the sound is there, such like light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says Shankar, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the, I see the Bhakti Yoga, head of the Bhakti Yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he took to the Bhakti Yoga. And last of all, he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of Mother. Mother enveloped me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where Mother was not. He came to his Guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into oneity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen into oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I mean Bhakti Yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is born made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that. And one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Maulana Rum gave out, if you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called masters, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palace. So, Guru Ram Das say, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because even the most learned people, the most Bhakti Yoga heads, and others all crave for the, what is presence, or the guidance, or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who were made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimages. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there that is called, that place is a place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere which are called now as Nankanasar. He sat at the feet of a some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the what the places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, O God, have a doubt in me, tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of pilgrimage? You will have to say the word made flesh, wherever you sit, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek, if you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. See for yourself what you are. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of the time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people had gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? Worldly position, sometimes wealth, sometimes high education, stands her way. Oh, I know so much, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening time many people go around. In old days, people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, or at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth and anything. He has come, all right, I have given such a thing he would remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin. He is a cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my Lord, what will happen if I must to just drink that water which is washing up the skin? You see, the Ramanavati, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the shirt, ran back, oh God, I am saved. I was otherwise spoiled. When he came home, he called for the washerman, little wash this cloth. That was some stain of his skin, water of his skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just with the tongue clean it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention diverts, rabbited at one place, that works wonders. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is the saint, people are coming, let me go to and visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the wiser man stood up with hands, hold it. And the Kripa King said, told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came back. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, or now, does not nature make arrangements for world in the mother before it is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say the grace of God, something is working, that all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ram Das gives, wherever you hear such like masters, you go to its feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go is better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under a tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it's that place above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. Just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that thing manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit, like a tree, the branch of it laden with fruit that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? Your business, actually. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had it there. He came up, Lord, how can, we are old ones, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody, especially you, don't you know the flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth called. He is called twice born. You see? This is what they give. That's only had at the feet of Master. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He says, by having a rebirth at the feet of my Master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depth of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moral room referred to it as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves. How to come out of the body? He says, you break the roof, open the hole into the roof and go out. So in man body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outer faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outgoing faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, music of the sphere, which will lead you where? That will lead you where? From where that emanated. The God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, when you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker at divine time, that power is working, it is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives it, what is it? Decisions according to our actions, then while a doer. But those who become conscious over the divine plan, they have not yet entered that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are watchers. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beat. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the day thing. So such like people, they say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such masters come, what do they do? They say, all right, here's the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you out there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns, fire, somewhere it gives you ice cream. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different, and others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world agoing. Whereas those who come to take back soul back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There is a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allowed some money. and the prisoner begins to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount and the prisoner begins to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they've got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, made some money, and they begin to have good ventilated house. All three people went out there, their sympathy was for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out each one. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, call by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has control all his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much I've engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcendence to be joined. So he can work both ways, here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, and then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are word made flesh, mind that. That word has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special light in some. They come, that's already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. It withdraws all our attention from outside and gives it something to start with, some capital to start with. It not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Gives you some capital to start with of light and sound by regular practice. They do own, you see, as Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working the world under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has its past and every sinner's future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who have got man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our souls from all outward enjoyment, gives the higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy world is lamp unto my feet. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. You follow me? With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master come, you know that when the Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetop. These things are now being given out openly as platform. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own selves, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, that God sends him, your prayer is true, God makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to demonstration of rising above body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here's the way. God wants each one of you to come back to his home. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give your contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, where should it go.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was called Who is Really a Master? And was from October the 9th, 1972. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right, thank you. I'm reading again from Spiritual Elixir, picking up soon after where I left off in the first chapter, this being the letters to initiates from Kripal Singh. Always seek His divine guidance by invoking His mercy in humble supplication and inner intense longing for His darshan. We must constantly remember that our aim is God, and we must not be concerned with anything that makes us forget Him. Our whole life must be built upon love and humility, which are inseparable. If we make any spiritual progress, we must guard against pride. Instead of looking down upon our fellow beings, we must thank God for His grace and repay it by humbly helping our brethren in their material and spiritual need. If there are those who do not understand or who do not wish to understand the truth, we must not feel irritated with them. They are all God's children, as we are, and must be won over by love and persuasion. Service is considered an ornament to a beautiful person that adorns and elevates his or her soul to become a clean vessel for His grace. Service of any type granted at the holy feet of the Master is beneficial and should be cherished, as whatever one does must bring its fruit in accordance with the law of karma. The secret of selfless service is to deny the reward or recognition of any type, and on the contrary, consider oneself as a humble instrument in the divine hands, which are the sustainers and protectors of all. All credit goes to the Master, yet the media of love are blessed with the superb divine intoxication, which is of supreme magnitude. Happiness is the willing adjustment of ourselves to our environment. If you could devote time to spiritual practices at stated hours, it would be better. But you should be sure that no day goes by without it. The best way to have a calm atmosphere is to work amicably. You should remain devoted and loving to your husband always. Love begets love. In this way, your husband will become a helping factor in all your affairs. I know the initiates abroad are anxious to see me in person, and I also long to be amidst them. You can well imagine how happy and jolly a father would feel amidst his sons and daughters, who are all loving and amiable. I would therefore suggest that by the time I make a trip to America, all initiates, including leaders and representatives, make a special effort to live a pure, Christly, and master-like life as is possible, so that all initiates will stand out amongst other men and women, shining with love in full bloom and drenched in the sweet remembrance of the Lord. Honesty, strength, courage, and kindness are the rare virtues and may prove very useful for spiritual development, provided these are used properly in your daily life. I am pleased to know that you have given up the habit of smoking. The observance of strict dietary regulations is very essential for steady progress on the holy path, and any transgression is liable to affect your progress. These rules should never be violated, even for the consideration of guests. Satsang is a great helping factor. The disciple imbibes the sacred teachings in their proper perspective, and it fosters inner loving devotion for the gracious master power working overhead. Besides, you will be able to enjoy the overwhelming radiation from the master power in such a holy congregation. I appreciate your deep gratitude and loving adoration for the gracious master power through whose grace you have been blessed with the holy boon of initiation into the mysteries of the beyond. Man is the highest in all creation. Those who love God should love all of his creation. He is immanent in every form. There are sermons in stones and books in rivulets. We should live in fellowship with all creatures and with all life. All rishis and saints had the vision of cosmic unity and loved nature. Nanak tells us, the whole creation is the house of God and he resideth in it. You should become a source of help and inspiration to your less gifted brethren, who may better their lot by following your example. Please note, an ounce of practice is better than tons of theory. The world is fed up with preachings, and the child humanity is looking urgently for life and light. You can be the harbinger of peace and prosperity by living a life as enjoined by the Master. One developed soul will be helpful to many others. Spirituality cannot be taught, it must be caught, like an infection, which is passed on to others who are receptive. Love and all things shall be added unto you. First of all, satsang is connecting of soul with God and getting absorbed in him. Then comes the satsang presided over by the Master, who is Word made flesh. In the absence of all this, all brothers and sisters should sit together in meditation and in sweet remembrance of the Master and God. The satsang receives the grace of the Master if it is conducted selflessly and with loving devotion to the Master. If it is conducted to be anyone's personal satsang, it will lose all the grace of the Master. I am glad that you attend the group meetings every month and help the holy cause. One receives loving life impulses from the charged atmosphere of the holy congregations. I appreciate your commendations for the great cause and the gracious Master who has done you substantial good during the past 10 years. His grace is eternal, and fortunate are the selected few who bear testimony and are grateful. I have appreciation for the loving service that you all are doing for the cause of the Master in helping all the struggling humanity tread on the path. This is the highest service that one can do for mankind, and is in fact a service of the Lord himself. It is a rare privilege to gather together in his name to invoke his gracious mercy and to imbibe the sacred teachings. The basis for perfect harmony and happiness is the right understanding, which is the gracious gift of Master Power, and we should consider ourselves to be the true brothers in faith, working simultaneously for our mutual emancipation under the protective guidance of the Living Master. Trustworthiness and tolerance bring loving cooperation, and selfless efforts bless the child disciple with reverent humility, which is the most helpful factor on the holy path. You may put in regular hours for your business and consider it as a sacred duty to the Master. All gracious help and guidance will be forthcoming from above. Satsang is a sacred arena where spiritual stalwarts are built. Here, overwhelming loving life impulses are radiated by the gracious Master Power for the spiritual benefit of all those attending these holy congregations. While we are walking on the path of righteousness, we discover that we are far from being perfect. Perfection comes slowly and requires the hand of time. It does not matter to what faith one belongs. So long as we love God and our fellow men, for our passport to the kingdom of God is the love we have in our hearts. If we are students of psychology or metaphysics and are well versed in the laws of mind and lack love and compassion for our fellow men, we are outside the kingdom of God. It is what we are that opens the door of our soul to God and makes us his channel of blessing to help others. Some people hope for a heaven in far distant skies, but heaven is a state of consciousness in this life. If we aspire to live and love divinely, we are already citizens of the heaven to come in the hereafter. For the kingdom of God is a state of consciousness wherein we worship God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength and love our neighbors as ourselves. Religion is, therefore, a matter between soul and God, and all other forms of worship and religious observation are in vain unless we enthrone divine love in our hearts. It is the temple of the heart in which we always keep the light of truth and love burning. Ever since the world began, there has been eternal warfare between the forces of evil and the forces of righteousness. We have been put on the way to God because of our love for God. I am happy to know your dear children are growing in love and wisdom with the grace of the Master. The gracious Master Power extends equal loving grace and protection for the blood and near relatives of the initiates. Satsang is a great helping factor. There you imbibe the sacred teachings in their right perspective and gain inner devotion for a higher spiritual life. It is during these serene moments of bliss and harmony that you are near the fountainhead of divinity and can assimilate the loving life impulses radiated by the gracious Master Power for his children. I am happy to know that the satsang is growing. This is all with the grace of the Master. Please continue working selflessly, and as you do, more divine inspiration and grace will be forthcoming from above. Karmas rightly performed in a spirit of service to the divine can lead to spiritual emancipation. They should be performed without fear of punishment or hope of reward. It should be spontaneous. You can direct your own destiny. In brief, selfless devotion to duty is the keynote to success on the path of action. Man has not to exert himself except in molding himself ethically and morally to that climax of love, sincerity, and humility, which will produce the necessary state of receptivity in him. Everything else is in the hands of the Master. Love knows selfless service, sacrifice, and self-surrender. Let no one interested in spiritual advancement perform service for the sake of appreciation. Selfless service is a great reward in itself. I am glad that satsang is growing and the recorded talks played on the tape recorder are being heard with such pleasure. It is indeed heartening to find that the sincere yearners are flocking to the holy fold and your selfless efforts are appreciated. Your loving testimony for the gracious Master Power in the holy congregations is notable. It is the work of the Lord and the faithful initiates. It is the work of the Lord and the faithful initiates, and it is possible to enjoy his grace in increasing measure. Your efforts will invoke his grace in increasing measure, and many dear ones awaiting their turn will come to share the divine grace. Your loving efforts in satsang will enable many world-weary and forlorn children to find their way back to the true home of their Father under the guided protection of the Living Master. It is a service of the highest order, and fortunate are those are the chosen few who are made instrumental in the divine setup. You will be able to liberate many aspiring souls from the wheel. I am glad to find that you had a beautiful and harmonious satsang meeting, where the whole atmosphere was charged with the overwhelming love and grace of the Master Power. The Father is always blessed to see the loving children putting their heads together for the holy cause, and He radiates His loving life impulses for the spiritual benefit of the dear ones. Your deep gratitude for the manifold blessing from the gracious Master Power are notable. It is the first step towards divine grace, which is extended in ever-increasing abundance to the child disciple. Those awake to this sublime truth enrich their lives and become a source of inspiration to others. I am glad to find that you welcome the dear ones who meet together at your home for holy meditations. It is a reward in itself. The very place becomes sanctified where dear initiates sit in holy meditation. It is the climax of divine grace when the loving children put their heads together for the holy cause, which in turn reflects on the organization as a whole. Keeping a daily record or diary is the best method to become conscious of one's shortcomings and errors. Eradicate and uproot them and plan future progress. Without such self-analysis and self-criticism, no real advancement is possible. It is true that without an ethical background, there can be no spiritual headway. Whosoever keeps to these principles has a possibility of spiritual growth, no matter whether he is rich or poor. The rich people, however, derive such benefits in a much lesser degree than the others. Yes, you are correct. All efforts made by the disciple to efface the personal I are in the right direction, because elimination of the ego is the only means of liberation from the unending cycle of births and deaths. It is good that the satsang meetings are so harmonious and lovely, though not too large in attendance. Please stress to the dear ones the importance of regular attendance at satsang and of the holy meditations, which carry a deep significance. Increasing contacts within and the peace-giving strains of holy music and divine light are the only effective remedies for the horrible dangers and anxieties that are facing humanity due to the invention of greatly advanced weapons of destruction. Fortunate are the selected few who have been blessed with the sacred boon of holy initiation into the mysteries of the beyond. It is now up to them to make hay while the sun shines. It is in their own best interest to continue on lovingly and to make progress from day to day. My advice is, from this day on, to make love and self-surrender the cornerstones of your life. If you do this, you will find your life becoming daily a blessing. You must endeavor to cultivate a large capacity for self-surrender to and love for the Master, if you wish to make substantial progress in the spiritual field. I have said many times, the path is not easy. You must crucify your ego and lay your selfhood at the altar to love for your Master. I am glad you love the Master. God is love, and Master is love personified. He emits rays of love to be attuned to by those on the way, as well as to others who are struggling to find God. Happy lucky and fortunate are those whose vessel is cleansed and are ready to receive the sweet nectar of Master's grace. There is only one remedy for all discord and inharmony, and that is love. He who has not mastered its secret can never hope to be received in the court of the Lord. It is the beginning and the end of spirituality. He who understands love and its true nature, and who lives and moves by its light, shall, as two added to two make four, attain the Lord. Yes, it is well to help others and do the best for them, but do not be concerned with the fruits of what you do. That is something that you must leave to the Master. Make your love for him so complete that, beholding his hand in everything, you rise above all feelings for enmity, rivalry, and resentment. See him present in all, and remember that he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. And above all, do not forget that he is to be won, not by words, but by deeds. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, if you can learn to see him working through all things, if you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evils and imperfections, you shall not only win salvation yourself, but enable others to likewise. I am glad to find that you are serving the holy cause by conveying the gospel of love and truth to the hungry child humanity. A compassionate attitude for the sufferings of humanity cleanses the inner dross of the mind, and one becomes more receptive to the incessant grace flowing from the gracious Master power. It always pays to radiate love, compassion, mercy, and forbearance. By love, serve one another, so that others may know and see for themselves that you belong to the living Master, who has opened the divine gates of divinity within for proceeding back to your true home. Spirituality is not an expression of any particular faith. It is of no consequence as to what faith you profess. Let us all join the army of God, and the qualification for joining is righteousness, which consists of kind thoughts, kind words, and kind deeds. I wish everyone to live a clean and pure life and rise above in the higher planes and enjoy the security and calmness, both inner and outer, during the sojourn here, and to eventually reach one's true eternal home. To expect that after initiation the affairs of the world would so change that bitter things will never come your way is a mistaken idea. Ups and downs do come here as a result of the reactions of one's own doings. They have to be faced and squared up. If we were to run away from them, the debts will remain unliquidated. When something is to be given, it is always better to give it and be free. The way that the Master has given works both ways. It gives progress within, which strengthens one's powers of tolerance and humility to face trials and tribulations with equanimity, while severity and duration of such hardships are toned down considerably. One should therefore lead a life that the Master wants him to live and be regular in his meditations with loving faith and devotion. If one is to be influenced by anything, let the good in others influence him, for nothing else should. Married life is no bar to spirituality. If lived according to the ethical code laid down in the scriptures. A chaste life in husband and wife is a source of health, vigor, and energy to them. Master Power is always with you, working overhead, extending all feasible love and protection. A loving father would not like to see his child remain in the cradle forever, but would be happy to see the child stand up and walk, and will surely offer his hand to the child in his efforts to stand up and walk. My love goes to you. Rest assured. The disciple reaches his final goal in proportion to his own integrity, loyalty, and devotion to Master. If you aspire for spiritual salvation, do not lose a moment in seeking to reform yourself. This is the task before you. Let your love for the Master be absolute and your obedience to his wishes be uncompromising. Work for his cause to the best of your ability, but do not let the individuality of your limited vision inculcate feelings of opposition and resentment for your companions or your friends. So long as one has not attained universal consciousness, differences of opinion are bound to exist. But if one understands their cause, one will not allow them to disturb one's peace of mind. Whatever the outer opposition, whatever the opinions of others, if one has surrendered oneself completely to one's love for the Master, then nothing can ever disturb one's equanimity or obstruct one's spiritual course. He who is upset by what others have to say is without question one who is still controlled by the ego and has yet to conquer himself. He has yet to learn the rudiments of spirituality. Let me therefore command you as father, exhort you as a teacher, persuade you as a friend to turn to the reformation and the conquest of the self if you seek to progress on the inner path. Let your effort be an effortless effort and devote time in a loving way, reposing your hopes in the Master Power overhead. The diary is meant for one's personal use and helps to bring out many of the hidden underlying weaknesses to the surface so that one may begin to see them and try to remove them one by one. And with their removal, life becomes pleasant and spiritual progress is accelerated. I am glad to find that you have benefited immensely from the august physical presence of the Master during my recent foreign tour. Loving humility coupled with complete surrender are the ennobling virtues for imbibing the sacred teachings in the right perspective. Implicit obedience for the holy commandments grants ineffable joy within which furthermore multiplies in great abundance when assimilated with care and caution. A true disciple revels in inner bliss giving silence and has great tolerance and moderation in all things. The Nam, the Sat Nam, the eternal word, is immanent in every form. He is in the poor, the rich, and the outcast. We are all brothers in God, and world brotherhood is the crying need of the day. True religion is the expression of the divinity already existing in man. Nor is true religion to be found in rites or ceremonies, or in creeds or forms. It is life. It is the mingling of the soul with the great life. It is not shut up in temples, but exists in love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. There is no place where God is not. You will not find him in the gorgeous temples made of marble and stone. You will find him in the tears of the poor and the lost. True happiness lies in giving to others, not in self-seeking. We should not be worshippers of the God of conventions. We should raise our moral aspirations to the highest extent and realize in our own self, God. God pervades throughout the universe, but can be contacted only by transcending limitations of the senses. try to study the book of life, our very self. Let us be careful not to confound the religions with creeds and forms. We should realize that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal, and that is the underlying unity of all religions. Wherever he may be, man must strive for nobility of character, self-control, and purity of heart. Purity in thought, word, and deed is essential. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Spirituality, however, is not just ethical living. This must always be borne in mind. And I'll finish reading there. Again, I was reading from Chapter 1 in Spiritual Elixir, Book 1 by Kirpal Singh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Claire, for reading for us. We had 84 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.